Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. A different kind of news magazine is playing on ABC Tuesday nights, Soul of a Nation. Senior producer Catherine McKenzie joins me next in an internet radio exclusive. Video chat and game show collide on YouTube April Fool's Day with the debut of Yak Network. We will chat live from Chicago with founder and chief executive Marcy Rubin later this hour. Also ahead, an unusual Warner Brothers project involving diversity, the Writers Guild TV prizes, and our new classic trivia question and new prizes in play. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker Tune Radio, presented on Amazon Music, Verbal, and the iRadio Podcast Network. This just in, we're in spring, deep in March Madness, and tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book or two when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. Welcome on this Monday afternoon to the program all about TV's current and future. It's a beautiful day here in the New York metro area, 59 degrees at the top of the hour. We have a pair of wonderful guests coming away over the next hour, and we invite you to be part of the program. Get interactive. Very simple to do. Just pick up the phone and dial in with this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker Tune Radio. We have our chat room open for business. Simon Apple 04. My name is some people trying to get into the room right now, so go right ahead and do so. You'll find that chat room at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk Speaker Tune and screen. Follow the instructions, and other people will be live with you. Soul of a Nation senior producer Catherine McKenzie joins me here in New York after these news notes. We lead off with the formation of another effort to dramatically expand diversity on the tube. Warner Brothers will work with Justice RX, the organization headed by former Yale professor Dr. Philip Akiba Goff, who's also head of the Center for Policing Equity. Under this multi-year project, Justice RX will create original content for various Warner Media services, plus consult with Warner Brothers series creators and executives on inclusion and social justice themes. Kenning Dungy, chairperson of Warner Brothers TV Group, says the venture is designed to generate, and I quote, compelling programming that will both entertain and inspire, unquote. Ted Lasso and The Crown continue to rack up TV industry honors. Latest victories happened last night at the Writers Guild Awards, with Ted Lasso winning both Best Comedy Series and Best New Series, and The Crown Best Drama. Ms. America won the original miniseries made for TV movie prize, The Queen's Gambit, and the adapted prize in that category. Other TV winners last night, BoJack Horseman, Ozark, The Great, Jason Mero, and At Home with Amy Sedaris. Now some quickies. Selena the series creator Moises Zamora has launched a new production company, Zone One. His first TV series projects, The Whistleblower at HBO Max and Off the Rims for ABC Signature. NBC will renew Ted Danson comedy Mr. Mayor for a second season. African-American Trailblazers will be showcased on History in Color, the seven-part unscripted miniseries co-produced by Morgan Freeman's production company, Revelations Entertainment, that does with Lori McCreary. And Jamie Foxx will play former boxing champion Mike Tyson in the miniseries directed by Antoine Fuqua and Martin Scorsese aboard as executive producer. And that is news notes for today. And now joining me here in New York, the senior producer of the new ABC News magazine, Soul of a Nation. Tomorrow night, 10 p.m. Pacific time. Pleasure to welcome this program, Catherine McKenzie. Welcome aboard, Catherine.
Thank you so much.
It's a pleasure. First of all, how long has this project been in development for?
This has been development since last November. We started really talking about it and then probably kicked into high gear right after the holidays.
What made it go into high gear? Was there any incident or any development that sort of triggered ABC to finally say, let's do this unique news magazine?
Well, we started talking about doing something, to really go back and back and back. We started talking about doing something more than just like one episode of something back in the wake of the George Floyd killings, and we had all these different ideas, and I think as we went through the end of the year, we were able to put kind of the package together of what we thought a multi-episode arc might be, really looking at Black American life through the eyes of Black Americans and put together through Black Americans in kind of a different way of doing a news magazine than we've seen before, and we were just fortunate enough to get it greenlit and then had to deal with how do you shoot something like this in a pandemic. And once we got our dates, we were kind of off to the races.
I want to welcome Peter Plack into our chat room. Simon Apple 04 by name. If you have a question or a comment for Catherine, Peter, put it in the room and make the call, 646-652-2906. Catherine, for people who have not seen the series, what are some of the topics that the series deals with and how it impacts African Americans?
So we have talked about everything from faith to sports. Tonight, I'm a day ahead of myself. Tomorrow night's episode is on joy. We've looked at Reconstruction is coming up. Retribution is coming up. And all those have been kind of themes, I would say. We have another theme that we called Next, just kind of looking towards the future. But we have talked about everything from forgiveness and faith and Afrofuturism, joy, the Black church, and where it's at now. We've discussed abortion, kind of all the issues that are really everyday issues, but kind of looking at them from a Black perspective and letting people in on kind of how African Americans and really Black folks all across the world talk about some of these issues.
Mm-hmm. It seems like every episode deals with a particular topic or an aspect of African American life and culture. Once you decide on a topic, how do you determine what stories or what developments you will cover inside of that hour?
You know, the greatest thing that we've had is we have this amazing group of, you know, senior producers, producers, APs, and really all these topics that you're seeing came out of conversations that we all had and then grouping kind of story ideas that we had underneath one umbrella. So if you watched last week's episode, for instance, we were all fascinated by the idea that so many times when you see these mass shootings, church shootings, bombings, et cetera, there's this act of forgiveness, right, that happens, whether it's in a Christian-based or universe-based, but where the victims are doing some sort of act of forgiveness. And we were kind of fascinated by that. So we go back and we look at, you know, how that kind of takes place in two different incidences in American history, recent American history, the Charlottesville bombings and the Bothram Jones case. In the case of my episode tomorrow, we were fascinated by the fact that throughout history in America, African Americans have always been able to find joy. Back in slavery days, it was, you know, you saw it in slave songs. You see it in comedy a lot, starting, you know, with Moms Mabley and Richard Pryor, how they kind of take these dire situations and make them funny, all the way through, you know, Eddie Murphy and Dave Chappelle and Kevin Hart now. And that became a theme for an episode, kind of finding joy in pain. The next episode kind of came at looking towards the future and culture and looking at ideas of TikTok, how a young African-American girl had a dance that went viral, but how she wasn't given credit to it, and how our creators are sometimes copied but never celebrated or given credit. And we looked at Afrofuturism, and that people don't really talk about, but that's a fascinating kind of arc at how we look at the future, which, you know, came from really talking to kids and asking them about the future, and a lot of kids saying the future for them is just survival and a future without violence, but trying to get them to broaden their thought to a future that includes space and STEM and all those exciting things. So all the things you see are things that have come up in discussions. What's been great is we had, what you don't normally have in TV, which is long lead time, time to really discuss topics that amongst all of us we've seen in the news or has fascinated us and we've never been able to delve in a certain way before and figure out new approaches or ways that we wanted to approach these subjects that we weren't able to approach them before without having this kind of a platform.
We're talking about Soul of a Nation. That's ABC's new news magazine. It's on tomorrow night, 10 p.m. East Pacific time. Now episode number 4 is going to be happening. And we're speaking with senior producer Catherine McKenzie here in New York this half hour. On tomorrow, we'll be televised. Sign up with you live from New York. Great to have you aboard this Monday afternoon. If you have a question or comment for Catherine, don't be shy. Make your move with the phone, 646-652-2906. We'll use our chat room. Simon Apple 04 by name. First of 3 episodes we're doing this week. Our next episode will be on Wednesday at a special time, 2 hours earlier than normal. That's 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. That's 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. Then we're back on our regular 3 p.m. Eastern start time, New Pacific, on Friday. And joining us will be from the popular Netflix series Nailed It, executive producer Patrick Duty. Plus, we will have a follow-up on an event that we, on a project we covered last year called Rival Peak. It's an interactive unusual competition service that started on Facebook Watch and on Facebook's Portal TV smart TV device, where it's an amazing race kind of competition, but the unique thing is all the characters are created artificial intelligence, using artificial intelligence video, and you, the viewer, can dictate what the characters do in their amazing race-type paces. We'll talk to the person we had on last fall, Jacob Navik of GenVid Technologies. We'll find out how well Rival Peak did and where his company is going from here in the world of interactive television. I think you'll be quite surprised. That's coming up Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here, exclusively on Tomorrow Be Televised. Catherine, of the three episodes you've done so far, what segment has received the most audience attention or the most audience reaction?
I think there's probably been two. I think the first segment that we did, that we kicked off the episodes with, was the Capitol Police Officer, the African-American Capitol Police Officer. His sit-down with Pierre Thomas really opened people's eyes, I think, to what that day was like, especially for black police officers. And I think one of the other ones that has struck a chord is the one I was just talking about, which is really talking to these folks that were so devastated. One by the Charleston shooting, a line that always gets in my head is one of the victims there saying, I can never close my eyes in church anymore as an effect of that. And then sitting back down with the young man who's Bolton Jean's brother, who we all remember from the courtroom, who ended up hugging the woman that had murdered his brother. Those two seem to generate a lot of conversation and wow, a lot of wows. From the audience. But I think what I've seen the most, and let's not forget, in the kitchen, the segment that Sunny Hostin has hosted every week, I think the third thing I would say is, you know, she's been able to get together this diverse group of people every week to talk about a certain subject, but every week she asks all of them the same question, when did you know you were black? And the answers to that question have generated a lot of conversation, both online and in the office.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned Pierre Thomas is one of the correspondents on this series. Who are some of the other ones, and what kind of approaches? You mentioned that one of the things about doing a news magazine like this is because you can experiment with different approaches to a story or a situation. So talk about who some of the other correspondents are, and as well as some of the different approaches they took in terms of getting to the story.
I would call this, you know, because I work for Disney, I'll say this is an Avengers row of correspondents. You couldn't ask for better. I mean, Pierre Thomas, Byron Pitts, Deb Roberts, Janae Norman, T.J. Holmes, Steve Olsen-Sami, along with Rachel Scott. I'm sure I'm going to forget someone, and they'll call me later. Kenneth Moten from our early morning show. All those folks. Jamel Hill, who was on loan from us, from her other work at The Atlantic. Michael Wilbon joins us for your ESPN fans in our sports episode. So all those folks have just, you know, been able to lean in. When you talk about different approaches, I would say, you know, you'll see a lot of these pieces don't have a lot of track. We're leaning into the interviews, into the voices. I think you'll see a lot of our reporters who are used to maybe, you're used to seeing them being very buttoned up in front of the White House or at a murder scene. You'll see a different side to them, giving a little bit of their own personal history and how it relates to some of these topics that we're talking about. There's a great moment in tomorrow's episode where Janae and Cynthia Erivo talk about being black women in the world and how even though Cynthia Erivo is not from America, there are times when she has the exact same experiences because no matter what, when she walks into a room, the color is what people see before they see her or hear her British accent. And it's interesting to see her and Janae go back and forth on some of those incidences and feelings. So I think the approach was to be conversational. The approach was to let folks in on conversations that they might not necessarily always hear because they're conversations that we have amongst each other. And that approach, I think, has allowed for a really interesting understanding and emails and texts that I've gotten from friends back home about, wow, I never knew it was really like that, or I never know people really felt that way. Has been kind of fascinating to see. We're also very fortunate in that we shot this with a beautiful DP. It's shot beautifully, lit beautifully. It's not your typical news magazine. And for us, it's been really a joy and a pleasure and we're really grateful to work on something like this.
You mentioned Cynthia Erivo. Of course, tonight is, by the way, the second part of Genius, the Aretha Franklin miniseries that started last night on National Geographic, and is also, I believe, also running on Hulu as well. And her performance, I have to tell you, is as Aretha, both singing and acting, is luminous. I have a hunch she will be in quite a few Emmy, quite a few conversations for Emmy Awards and other major awards too.
Yeah, she is truly a force to be reckoned with. I think folks will enjoy the interview portion that she has tonight, and she also is our performer tonight. I keep saying tonight, some a day ahead, but tomorrow night, and she's also our performer, our performance in tomorrow's episode. So she is just a joy to behold. And really thoughtful in her answers as we take on some of these more in-depth topics.
It sounds like in addition to the subject matter, there was also an effort to diversify who's involved here. You mentioned Michael Wilbon, of course, from ESPN, the co-host of Pardon the Interruption, one of my favorite, by the way, pleasure shows to watch in the afternoon with Tony Kornheiser, 5:30 may as well plug, 5:30 p.m. Eastern Pacific time on ESPN weekdays when there's not a sports event on. And also he's done commentary on the NBA games, halftime and pregame. But we've never seen him, I think, in a way do a an in-depth report on sports. What was it like for him to take on that challenge? And by the way, what does that segment deal with?
I am not the senior of that hour, so I can't remember exactly what it deals with, but I will say that what this has done for a lot of our reporters, including Michael, Alex Perez is also in our hour, is it's allowed them to kind of show a different side to themselves and do some things for television that you don't normally get to see them do, some longer-form interviews, some more in-depth interviews that and ask them questions and really do some to make them more conversations and adversarial kind of, I just go through a list of questions that I have to ask, but to really have a conversation with the subject they're talking to and to let it breathe. And I think everyone, to a person that I've talked to, has really enjoyed being able to do that and not just have to, here are 10 questions that I need answers to and I'm going to get them and then walk out the door because I have to hit deadlines.
Mm-hmm. We're going to see what Michael does with that segment because he's a marvelous writer. Those who know in the know about sports writers know that he's one of the best journalists in that field. And can we see him flex those muscles for the first time in a long while.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, I think as a producer, as a network, it's been a joy for us to be able to kind of give this kind of platform to some of our greatest writers, folks like Michael and Jamel, who are cousins of the family. And then folks like Steve-O and Alex Perez that you don't get to necessarily see flex those kinds of muscles very often.
Mm-hmm. Kathryn McKenzie is senior producer of Soul of a Nation. The latest episode of this new ABC News magazine is on tomorrow night, 10 p.m. Eastern Pacific time on your local ABC station. And Kathryn joins me this half hour here in New York on Tomorrow We Televise. Tom and I've been with you live from New York. If you have a question or comment or a mini miss with Kathryn, make that call, 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. And coming up our next half hour, we have a brand-new classic trivia question for you and some brand-new prizes if you're first with the correct answer. We're going for our third weekly winner in a row, fourth within the month, and could be you. So stay tuned, get your thinking caps ready, and be prepared. Our next winner could be Y-O-U. And that's in our next half hour, along with Marcy Rubin from Yak Network, who will join us live from Chicago. Brand-new venture that will be premiering on YouTube, available on smart TV sets and smart devices, April 1st, April Fool's Day. Kathryn, what can we expect in the remaining episodes of the series?
So tomorrow night, Joy, you will see a really great, and not only saying that, just my hour, but you'll see a really interesting up close and personal with the comedian Michael Yo, who was one of the first folks to be in intensive care during the beginning of COVID a year ago. And we'll take you kind of through his journey and how he's now back on stage. We also talked to DJ Denice, who was the DJ that got many of us up and dancing during COVID with his Club Quarantine. Our anthology series, which, you know, we partnered with Undefeated on, you'll hear us talk a lot about sketch comedy, everything from Saturday Night Live to In Living Color, some of your favorite comedy sketches. In the Kitchen, which, you know, a segment everybody loves, We do it with all black female comedians, and I think it's quite enjoyable. We also look at the Black Lady Sketch Comedy Show, which folks love. And a little different for this week is we begin and end our episode with some codas, which is some folks that you may or may not be familiar with doing kind of their essays on black joy, and I think it'll be quite enjoyable. Coming up in Shut Up and Dribble, we look at the viralness of some of these young black gymnasts that we've seen, how great they've been. In our restoration series, we go back to a plantation and look at the history of what's been happening there. So a lot of really, really good stuff coming up, along with some great performances by some of your favorite artists.
Do you and ABC News see this program as a template for similar news magazines covering other communities of color, Latino, Asian American, indigenous peoples, Native Americans, and so on and so forth?
I mean, I can't speak for the folks in L.A., but I think we see it as definitely a template, a model, something that could be replicated, especially some of the franchises like In the Kitchen and the anthology, like definitely. And I think it's been an eye-opener to see, you know, what it's meant to the black community that we're doing this in such a way, but to other communities who have enjoyed watching it and learned from it.
Mm-hmm. What's it been like for you and your fellow colleagues in putting this together? What have you personally learned from doing this type of production, this type of news magazine?
Oh, my God, I've learned so much. I'm like, do you have an hour? Probably not. I think it's twofold. Let's start with the heartfelt stuff. It's been, you know, really gratifying and fulfilling to work on something that really takes into account my history as an Afro-Latina woman who grew up in America and my experience, and using that to inform the stories and the story matter and the beats in each story that we cover, to not make it the same beats that we see every single time. That's been incredibly fulfilling. It's been incredibly fulfilling to work with some folks across the news division I don't normally get to work with, REPs, Eric Johnson and Robe, folks that I've long admired but haven't gotten a chance to be up close and personal with. And from a technical standpoint, we've gathered the best of the best, our DPs, our supervising producers, our photographers, all of that, have really taught me things that I didn't necessarily know that I was possible of, have made visions in my head come to life and been even better than I thought they would be. So professionally and heartfeltly, it's been a very rewarding experience. And I think most interesting, you know, when we're sitting in those meetings, and it's rare to be, I've been doing this now for over 20 years, and normally when I go into an editorial meeting, I'm the only black person. Sometimes the only woman, I'm the only black person. This experience has been, you know, all of us in a room together, and you don't normally get that in this business. And so it's an experience that I will treasure forever, because it's just been like speaking with people that speak the same language and not having to edit yourself and really put together some really, really, really great work.
Mm-hmm. Is there a topic that you could not get around to doing that if ABC gives you a second season of Soul of a Nation that you definitely want to do? No question about it.
There's so many. You know, I think we didn't really look at that horrible word. I think there's probably an act or more to be done on the N-word and its power and maybe its lack of power. I think that would be a topic I'd like us to look at. We do a decent look at the black church, but I think we could do more. I'd love to talk about young activism. I don't think we got into that as much as I would have liked to, really profile some of the young activists that are out there. I think that we didn't spend enough time kind of on the music industry and how African Americans are most often leaders, trend leaders in that, whether it's RAF or STOL. I think there's a ton to be done around that. But, you know, there's only so many hours. But, yeah, I mean, you could give me 5 more hours and I could put together tons of TV.
Well, one other thing, Catherine, before I let you go, what's been the feedback from African-American organizations, whether cultural, political, social? What are they saying about what you're doing?
They've loved it. You know, if you're on Twitter, you've seen it. But, you know, folks that I am friends with in the National Association of Black Journalists, they've really appreciated and have seen the work and are astonished that we were able to put this together. I think, you know, what we've seen is folks just being grateful, being like, wow, you guys really were able. And folks being grateful, too, I'd be remiss if I didn't say this, and I'm not just saying this because they sign my check every week, but to ABC and to Disney for letting us do this, for giving us a time slot, a consistent time slot every week to tell these stories, which is not easy to do. I think there's been a lot of excitement and a lot of, you know, let's hope we don't stop here. I hope this is the beginning of something and not the end of something. You know, as we come upon the one-year anniversary of George Floyd's death, like, you know, I just hope that as we look back over the last year and we look towards the next year, that, you know, we keep having these conversations. We keep covering stories like this and the way that we're covering them, because it's the only way that I think will truly bring about real change. If the only change that came about in the last year is that folks now have Juneteenth off as an extra holiday at work, then we have not done our job either as journalists or as human beings in this society.
The program is Soul of a Nation, and the next episode is tomorrow night, 10 p.m. East Pacific time on your local ABC station. Check those local listings for where ABC plays in your area. And for more details about the program online, you can go to abc.com or abcnews.com. That's abc.com or abcnews.com. Soul of a Nation. Next episode tomorrow, 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time on the ABC station in your area. Catherine McKenzie, the senior producer of the program, thank you again for joining us. It's been a pleasure all the way. Congratulations to you and all your colleagues at ABC News and Disney for getting this off the ground. And hopefully this will be the beginning of a great long run. And also, as I mentioned earlier, a template for other communities of color to get similar news magazines.
Thank you so much, Simon. I appreciate you having me on.
You're very, very welcome, Catherine. Take care. All the greatest.
Yeah, have a great day.
Catherine McKenzie, senior producer of Soul of a Nation, joining me here in New York. More tomorrow will be televised coming away, but first some words from the fine folks at Audible.com. Are you interested in a very unusual spy tale? We got one for you, and you can hear it right now with a trial run at Audible.com. It's called The Rose Code, a very unusual tale of espionage by Kate Quinn. And all you have to do is just become a trial member for Audible.com. Get that one-month trial and have that be your choice of audiobook. You know, Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, and inspiration. There's over 200,000 titles to choose from. And best of all, you can listen to them on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now at Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, Amazon Music, iRadio, Verbal, etc. Just sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. AudibleTrial.com/televised. You get one free audiobook, 1 month trial, great customer service from Audible's masters, Amazon.com, and health and wellness information, too. Plus, if you're already an Amazon Prime customer, you get two audiobooks for your trial of one. And one of those can be from the growing catalog, fast growing, I might add, of Audible Originals. That's original audio productions and podcasts, best of Broadway, off-Broadway, and regional theater, great one woman and one man performances. You can't beat it, and it makes a great birthday, anniversary, holiday gift for you or someone you love. So all you got to do is check out audibletrial.com/televised and hear how audible.com can transform the way you hear the world. When we come back, we're going live to Chicago, and we're going to talk to the founder and chief executive of a new venture premiering on April Fool's Day, no fooling, on YouTube. It's called Yak Network, where video chat meets the game show. Marcy Rubin will join me. Plus, our latest classic trivia question, we're going for our third weekly winner of a row, and that could be you with some nice prizes. Musical for the first time. All that after you pause at the bottom of the hour. Web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, and tunein.com. Your home for the best internet radio around the planet, with more than 55 million listeners around the world every month and growing. BTR is your home for Big Blend Radio. Check it out today, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. That's Big Blend Radio, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, Best of BTR always 24/7 at YouTube.com. More and more are being seen on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. Welcome back to the second half of Tomorrow Be Televised, coming away on this Monday afternoon, the 22nd of March, 2021. Simon Alvin with you live from New York. Got another great guest coming away this half hour. And we invite you, as always, to be part of the program. So simple. Pick up the phone and call in 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. A lot of things are happening at YouTube, which more and more is being seen by viewers through smart TV sets and smart TV devices. Tonight, for example, the new drama series produced here in New York, Joyland, from former Lifetime official Gary Morgenstern, will be premiering. We had Gary, the director of the program, last month on our show. I'm happy to say it got a lot of attention, and he's promoting it all over the place on Facebook, Twitter, social media. And that's happening tonight, by the way, on YouTube. And that's not all. On April 1st, a brand new venture will premiere on YouTube that matches video chat with game show play. It's called Yak Network. And joining us now from Chicago to talk about it is its founder and chief executive, Marcy Rubin. Hello, Marcy.
Hi, Simon. How are you?
Very fine, thank you. How is you and your crew getting together to make this project happen on April 1st?
Well, we're so excited. We showed you the game this morning, so you played it, so you understand the wonderful Yak Network. So we're very excited about it. We are the first live game show on the internet to now we'll live stream live. So we really have a nice new situation coming, and it's going to be Yak Game Show Network, and we're very excited about it.
And before we get into how the game works, how the yakking, in fact, works, how did this come to the attention of YouTube?
Well, you can stream anything on YouTube, so we didn't have to worry about that, but you can stream live to 30 different outlets besides YouTube. Periscope and Twitch and Facebook, those are all available to stream to. It's almost like a strawberry pie where you just pick sections and you can go out into this universe and stream. So we're starting with YouTube and Facebook, and then we will continue on to many, many, many other ways to stream, and it's very exciting.
I would assume that includes smart TV sets, smart TV devices, whether it's Roku, Facebook Watch, Portal TV,
absolutely,
et cetera.
They will be able to watch Yak Game Show Network.
Mm-hmm. So before we get into how this works, we were talking last week beforehand about the fact that this came out of actually something you wanted to do and you couldn't do. You wanted to, I believe, sell a game show somewhere.
Right.
I
produced public television. I have my own production company. And we, always thinking of new things and chit-chatting and yakking about different ideas, and we pitched the show. And unfortunately, they did it. They loved it, but they did it without us. So I was, I said, well, you know what, I'm going to put it on the Internet because it'll go all over the world and everyone will be able to see it and partake in it. And that was many years ago. It took a long time to develop it and create the application. And we got a patent on the method because it's very unique. It's never been done before. So we're very excited to now be fully ready to go mobile, you know, computer, in any which way people want to join, they will be able to. So we have this wonderful launch. We're very excited. We're getting a lot of buzz about it, and people are signing up. It's a free online, you know, product. You can go and sign up on our Facebook page. And it's very exciting. So this is kind of where it had a different, it was supposed to be for TV, but now it's for everybody all over the world on the Internet and on YouTube.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about how this works. And as you mentioned, I had the opportunity this morning with you to try it out. In order to play, you need a webcam. And the idea is you register, you sign in, and once you do, take it from there. What happens?
Well, you also can sign in. You can use your cell phone or you can use your iPad or tablet. It can be any of the mobile devices as well. So you just sign in like you would be signing into any, you know, other program, and then you come into a lobby, and in the lobby there will be name of the game. Today it was Simon's game, and we did a wonderful few questions on TV history. So Yak is a platform that is very flexible. It's customizable. It can be done for any question, any subject, any time. It can be live. It can be any time people need to do it. We have five divisions that Yak really fits into. So that's the gaming, which you played today. But then there's a corporate division. Corporations have are using Yak for onboarding, getting to know new team members. They're very excited about it. We did a wonderful thing with J.P. Morgan. Worldwide, there were people from Hong Kong and London and New York. They wanted to do two truths and a lie because they all knew each other so well. That was kind of fun. And then we did one for ETI Software, which was about Black Lives Matter. It was all Black history. It was great. Dating sites are very interested in Yak as well because we're going to do let's get icebreakers. Let's get game acquainted. So before you go on a date, pop onto Yak and have fun. And you can meet, greet, and kind of compete a little bit. And it's a wonderful opportunity for people before they, and especially in the pandemic, since it's kind of hard to meet quite yet. So Yak is a wonderful product for them. And we also did one for Pace University for a business class. He wanted to use Yak as a way for the students to, you know, be able to have this trivia, but it was always about their questions, their business questions. And they loved it. They really did great, too, and that helped them with their final exam. So when people go into Yak, you go into the game room. Six people can be in each game room, but we also, as a game show, have the ability for people to be in the audience. They can watch the game. They can send gifts to the different players. They can chat. And we can have unlimited game rooms, so it can go on for thousands of people at the same time. We have a leaderboard, so if you get enough points, like you did today, Simon, you get on the leaderboard. And then if you get enough points and you accumulate them, then you can go on the treasure chest and get a prize. And we were very excited about that. So here we're ready to rock and roll. I have another question for you, Simon. I'll give you a couple of trivia questions. You ready?
All right, go ahead.
Which of the following did not have a Tonight Show? Which one? Dave Garraway, Johnny Carson, or Steve Allen?
I know this one because growing up, I had the chance to see this marvelous communicator in action. His name is Dave Garraway. Dave
you
Garraway
are right.
Did the Today Show.
Ding, ding, ding.
And,
you want one more?
Of course, Steve Allen was the, just to fill in the trivia blanks, Steve Allen was the first host of Tonight Show, originally locally here in New York on WNBC TV Channel 4. Then it became national on NBC. And, of course, Johnny Carson. The longest running host in the franchise history.
So you just got a point, Simon. You did great. I got one more for you. Which was the first?
All right.
Which one was the first to use a cable premium TV network for original programming? HBO, Showtime, or Cinemax?
Give the question one more time. I want to bring our audience into this also.
Okay, which was the first to use a cable premium TV network for original programming, HBO, Showtime, or Cinemax?
It was HBO.
Right, right. Congratulations.
Mm-hmm.
Great. All right, so we're going to have this wonderful...
Go ahead, Mark.
We're going to have this... We're having this launch on April 1st, and... Well, you know, we've gotten a lot of people to sign up. It's going to be free. And we're very excited about it because we want to see and meet all the people that want to play. And everybody loves trivia now. It's a very, you know, hot topic. So we're excited to have people come on and be our guests. And if they don't want to be on the game because you have your own little world there and be a teammate, you can be in the audience. So you can do either one. It's very exciting for us to have this going.
We're talking about Yak Network, and it will premiere on YouTube, available on smart TV sets and smart TV devices and other ways, too, on April Fool's Day. And we are talking live from Chicago with Marcy Rubin, the founder and chief executive of this new venture. And if you have a question or comment for her this half hour on Smart TV Televised, bring it in, 646-652-2906, or use that chat room, Simon Apple 04, my name, Peter Patak is in the room. So, Peter, if you're aboard, put the question in the room or give us that call. This is the first of three episodes of the program All About TV's Current and Future this week. Don't forget, on Wednesday, we'll be with you 2 hours earlier than normal, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. That's 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. Then we're back on our normal time period on Friday. And joining us then will be from the popular Nailed It series on Netflix, executive producer Patrick Duty, and from Genvid Technologies, the folks behind the unique interactive venture Rival Peak that we covered last fall, we'll have them back, Genvid Technologies executive Jacob Navik. That's all coming up Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, exclusively here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Marcy, how many people have signed up so far for the April Fool's Day premiere?
You know what? I don't know. I'm not keeping count. Somebody else is, but I know we're going to have about at least 10 to 20 rooms of games going at once. And I have people videotaping each game so that we will be able to live stream them. So we have a whole team effort going on.
And how do you get the questions? How do you get all the questions?
You know,
are the games going to be, are the trivia going to be like a subject like TV or movies or pop culture or history? Or is it going to be like general knowledge?
You know, it's going to be a little bit of all of those things. You know, like here's one. The pod in iPod was inspired by which movie? 2001, Space Odyssey, Alien, or Back to the Future? I mean, those are the type of questions. But if you don't have to answer that one if you don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
The pod in iPod. What was inspired by
Do you
by
have a team
movie?
Of people putting the questions together, like most game shows
yes.
do, or are you getting the questions from different parties? How does it work?
Well, it's a wonderful thing to collaborate with people who are, you know, brilliant writers, and they're information people. They love information. So if we needed something on a specific topic, I can get, you know, thousands of questions, you know, within a few days. So we have, in the dashboard of our wonderful application, we have question banks. And every question bank is filled with many different subjects and different questions. And they've all been researched, by the way, so they're not anything that we wouldn't attest to. So the questions today that we had on our show with you was our game with you was all about TV history. But we have games with about dogs and cats and goldfish and about corporate America and Black Lives Matter. I mean, we have had games with, you know, many, many wonderful different subjects. It's the world is our trivia oyster, in other words, and people that play. It's really a team effort as well on the game. It's not just one-on-one. And two people can play the game, anywhere from two to six, but when you have six people, you're on a team, three and three.
Yeah. As you're testing this out before the launch on YouTube, what are you finding out about the interest level people have, how they're using video chat, the kind of byplay that pops up with these games?
Yeah, that's a very good question, Simon. We have had an enormous interest come to us, and we have not really publicized yet. We're just kind of getting into the marketing and the branding of Yak. We want to make sure all our ducks are in order. But we have companies that have products that they want to showcase on Yak. So we have the ability to do interstitials. They can be anywhere in the game. It can be in the front of the game, the back of the game, within a question. We had one company, and I'm not going to name it yet because they haven't signed on, that have, you know, they're a fast food company. And one of the questions was how many sesame seeds are on top of their bun. And there is a specific number of sesame seeds that is put on that bun. So, I mean, we have had people that want a very specific type of questions that really enhance their product, and they will be able to use it on their Facebook page. They will be able to get games going on their website. You know, companies that have a very specific forward-facing public, you know, use, and that's what they want to use it for. And dating sites are very interested in us as well because, as I said earlier, people want to get game acquainted, and it's honestly a wonderful way to meet somebody because it's got built-in Q&A, question and answer. It's quick, and you can really get to know somebody by the way they interact and the way they play the game. It's kind of a wonderful, wonderful tool.
Yeah. Marcy, Peter Patak in our chat room wants to know, how can his company or other companies that might be interested in arranging games through your service, how can they get in contact with you, and how can they put a game together?
Okay, that's a great question. We have a whole format for companies to use, so They can contact me at Marci, M-A-R-C-I, at yaknetwork.com. That's Y-A-K-N-E-T-W-O-R-K. And we have a whole format for companies, so they can have any specific question they want, or they can have a topic that they want, certainly arrange the time. And we do all of the back work for them, and then they just kind of log on. As I said, the J.P. Morgan game, Two Truths and a Lie, one man was in Hong Kong, five people were one was in Dubai, Hong Kong, London, New York. I mean, they were all over the place, and they had a great time. So it's a wonderful tool worldwide. And companies are flocking to us to help them because, you know, they're a little tired of the other type of, devices and video conferencing platforms. So we're a little bit of a respite for them because it's so much fun.
Mm-hmm. What's been the reaction in terms of getting prizes? What do people think about this idea? And are you doing well in terms of getting people to supply you with, let's say, a gift certificate, let's say, from Starbucks or a year's supply of Rice-A-Roni paraphrase the very popular prize promotions of game shows gone by?
You're funny. I love to have a year's supply of Rice-A-Roni. It's a great idea. So we're going to be putting we've decided that we probably would give cash through PayPal. Is one of the prizes because they can get instant, a few bucks back. And then Starbucks gift cards are a wonderful idea. Once we get going, Simon, we're going to reach out to – we had a very big company. It's a liquor company. They're standing in the wings waiting to join this as well. They did a demo, but the pandemic hit and their company kind of went on pause, but they want to use this so they can give out demos and give prizes through their liquor company. I mean, it's endless. It could be anything. And once we put the interstitial in the game and then put the prize from that interstitial in the treasure chest, it's a wonderful product, a wonderful way for a company to utilize their product and for people to have fun.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to start
looking
back.
She is the founder and chief executive of Yak Network, which kicks off on April Fool's Day, April 1st, on YouTube, available on smart TV sets and smart devices all over the place. By the way, also tonight on YouTube, the premiere of Joyland. That's the new dramatic series produced written by Gary Morganson, former Lifetime Fisher. We've had him on the show before. We had him on recently, talked about the show with the director of the program. That's on tonight on YouTube as well. If a question or comment or remaining minutes with Marci, give us a call, 646-652-2906. Or use that chat room, Simon Apple 04. My name is Peter Patak. Thank you again for the question we posed from you a few moments ago. And by the way, coming up shortly, our classic trivia question segment, which of course is TV-oriented. So stand by. You could win our latest prize, and you could be our third weekly winner in a row, fourth, within the last month or so. After the premiere, April 1st on YouTube, how often will Yak run on YouTube?
Oh, that's a great question. Well, if we have 10 or 20 rooms and we can videotape them, we're going to be putting up tons of episodes on YouTube. And then we're going to probably do these we hope we can do them every week. We're gearing up for that, and we want to. We want to hit the ground running. We hope to do it every week, but we don't know yet. We're still, you got to crawl before you walk, before you run.
Mm-hmm. You're the latest player, Marci, in this whole interactive TV scene. What do you think about this scene that you're entering into? What do you think about it and the let's say, the long-term potential for something like Yak?
Oh, I always say that the Internet is the wild, wild west. It's you can do whatever you – well, almost. I mean, you can do whatever you want. I mean, you look at these people that are on TikTok or the people on Instagram. They're young people. They have millions and millions of people watching them brush their teeth. So I think that it's so – people are very voyeuristic, Simon, and they really, enjoy watching other people. And that's why we chose to have this game, because we know that people like to chat and they like to interact. And this is the beginning of a wonderful relationship with the world. We're very excited about it. Because gaming, is a social bridge. It connects people. People are kind of, in their own worlds right now, and they want to reach out and And this one is good because you don't have to do a business plan. It's nothing serious. It's just fun.
Mm-hmm. Before we go, I wanted to get your thoughts about the game show scene in general. What do you think about game shows these days, how they're doing, and the kind of prevalence that they're getting, particularly on primetime network broadcast network television?
Yeah, I don't look at the stats. I mean, I don't have any data on them. I mean, I think they're a staple. If you take a game like Family Feud with Steve Harvey, I mean, it's been on for 100 years, and it just has such sustainability. And I think, you know, Wheel of Fortune, there's a lot of games that are just on forever. People just watch them every day, and they're like them. You know, even the TV show with, I forgot her name, Lisa, you know, Kelly Ripa, she has this game every day on her show, and people tune in. They know everything that goes on in the game show and the game part of it. And it's games. People love games. People like to play games.
Incidentally, last week on this program, I did a commentary about game shows, about the fact that we're seeing more and more games where if you're a losing contestant, you leave with nothing. You don't even get, like, the week supply, you know, the year supply of Rice-A-Roni or Soupy Honey or things like that. There are still games like, for example, Jeopardy, where if you're in third place, you win $1,000. If you're in second place, $2,000, so forth. If you're Wheel of Fortune, you can at least win $1,000, you know, because you're on the show, no matter what happens to you. But it seems we're seeing more and more of these game shows, particularly in overseas in England. They're great game shows like Tipping Point or Tenable, where you build up your bank, and if you lose, you leave with nothing. It's like, why? And the latest version of that, by the way, is Game of Talents, the Wayne Brady game show on Fox, where you have contestants building up like $30,000, $40,000, and then they lose it all. It's like, couldn't they give them $5,000 or $1,000 to the charity of their choice kind of thing? You just wonder, like, why are people doing this?
Oh, you know, I think that they have budgets and they have rules. And I guess if you don't want to play by the rules, you shouldn't be on the game. I mean, everybody has a different point of view. Certainly, I don't disagree with you about that. I think it would be beneficial to give somebody second and third prize. But, you know, they probably feel that they don't have the – I don't know. I think a winner is a winner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's probably the most – obvious, you know, decision people can make. I don't know. I wish I did. And you're very nice to think about what other people that don't win should go home with. Consolation prizes.
Well, yeah, I'm saying that, you know, Marcy, because in days gone by, every game show, if you lost, whether you lost because of your own luck or because, you know, you played great, the other person played better, you still walked away with parting, you know, those parting gifts. And that's the issue.
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I think if you look at, like, Password and those kind of games, I don't think people did walk away with more money. Whatever they had. And what they didn't have, they didn't have. I don't think that they had consolation prizes at that time. I'm not sure.
On Password, I've seen the reruns on YouTube, and I believe it is it was either in the beginning, it was like an Encyclopedia Britannica, or it was like $50.
Oh, that's
you,
cool.
You have
an encyclopedic mind, Simon. I'm telling you that. Encyclopedic
mind. Oh, thank
mind.
You, Marcy. I deeply appreciate that. And by the way,
yeah.
It was a wonderful pleasure way back when to interview Bob Stewart. One of my first interviews covering television was with the creator of Password and Pyramid, so much more, Bob Stewart, one of the best game show producers around, the best next to Goodson Todman, because he really created a lot of the things that made game shows work.
Yeah, people are they love to watch people win. I think that's probably what it is. And people love to win. They're very excited to win and to really be on top. So we're going to have this April 1st. We're going to have two games, one New York time, one Pacific time. So if you can't go to one, you can go to the other. You can sign up at yaknetwork.com, on Facebook or Eventbrite. So we're very excited about it, and we want people to play and enjoy themselves. I think people need to really have fun. They're exhausted, and I think it's time.
Mm-hmm. Bottom line, April Fool's Day, we may have the beginning of yet another major venture, another major advancement in the world of interactive television, that being Yak Network. Again, it premieres April 1st on YouTube available on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. For more details about the project, here's where you go online, YAK, Y-A-K, YAKnetwork.com. That's YAKnetwork.com. You can also sign up, be part of one of the games on YouTube that day or later. And also, don't forget, tonight, Joyland premieres on YouTube. And if you want more details about the program, you want to hear our interview that we did with Gary Morgenstern and the director of Joyland, go to our homepage, blocktalkradio.com/televised. Marcy Rubin, thank you again very much for coming aboard. Congratulations on getting this venture off the ground. All the very best with it. Hopefully a wonderful long run and hopefully a lot of great interactive games and people coming away really enjoying it.
Thank you, Simon. I appreciate it. Go to our Facebook page, YAK Network, on Facebook and sign up. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Thanks again for the demo this morning. I really appreciate it.
Oh, I enjoyed it. Anytime.
You got it. Take care.
Bye.
Marcy Rubin from YAK Network joining us live from Chicago. Now it's time for our classic trivia question of the week. And if you're first with the correct answer, we have a very unusual musical prize for you. We have the CD of the soundtrack of Star Wars Episode I, The Phantom Menace, the music from John Williams. And we have Wycliffe Shawn, Carnival Volume 2, Memoirs of an Immigrant. Here's the question. Remember the TV series Bizarre, Showtime variety comedy show like Laugh In, hosted by John Biner? Remember the famous character that came out of that show, Super Dave Osborne, stunt person extraordinaire from Bob Einstein, who himself was a very popular variety show producer, shows like the Sonny and Cher Comedy Hour and more. Later on, Super Dave became his own television series, live action, which ran on Showtime for like 5 years. Plus, it was an animated series that ran on network TV for about a year. Here's the question. Who was Super Dave's announcing sidekick? If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. simonapple04@yahoo.com. Please enclose your name and where you're emailing from. First with the correct answer, you win. If we don't get an answer by the end of today, we'll post the question tomorrow morning on Facebook and on Twitter. Facebook is Simon Applebaum, Twitter, UBC Simon, TWBT. That's UBC Simon, TWBT. Remember, in order to win, you got to be in, so do so, and all the very best. Thank you to all of our guests for being here today and all of you for tuning in. Don't forget, we're back on Wednesday, less than 48 hours from now. Brand new time, 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. We'll tell you on the program through social media. And remember, we'd like to hear from you. What do you think about our program today and our guests and your thoughts about where TV's at, where it's going? Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Find me on Facebook. Follow me on Twitter and LinkedIn. We do respond to what you have to say because what you say matters. The views expressed here are those of the participants, those of the Blog Talk Radio, and others through this program. Our production associate is Mandolin. Andy Toews, Blog Talk Radio's general manager, with Jay Sonnenberg, head of content. The co-founders and enterprise are Alan Levy and Bob Charish. Marvin Televised, brought to you by Audible.com and Amazon Division. Remember, Audible transformed the way you hear the world. For 1-2 free audiobooks and more, it's audibletrial.com/televised. For Marvin Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a great rest of your Monday. If your popular team is still in the NCAA Men and Women's Tournament, good luck to them the rest of the way. We are back on Wednesday. Don't forget the special time, 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, plus Verbal, Amazon Music, and the iRadio Podcast Network. Whatever you're up to now and then, please make it safe and make it great. We're going to let this podcast down forever. Oh, one more thing. Very special day tomorrow for a very special person. It's my mother's birthday. Mwah. Happy birthday, Mom. Love you always and forever. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned. And happy B-Day, Mom.